Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Since cutting the first Sonic Youth demos 3 decades ago, Kim Gordon has delivered a new boundary-breaking project every year in every manner of art and music. This Saturday night, she'll perform in the Hunter Center at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts, in a deeply improvisational duo, Body Head, that pairs her propelling guitar and vocals with free noise guitarist Bill Nace. Kim Gordon, welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
Could you tell us how you met Bill Nace?
I think actually Bill moved up to the Northampton area around the same time we did. And we used to see him working at the art theater in town, movie theater. And then I think it was actually Thurston who saw him play with Chris Corsano, his band Vampire Belt that they had as a duo, and thought he was a really exciting guitar player. And anyway, eventually we became friends, and we played together with other people occasionally. And, you know, we just sort of hung out. And some friend of ours who has a record label in Brussels, Eczema Records, was doing a compilation, and he asked if I would do this. This theme was everyone covering Fever. So I asked Bill if he wanted to do something with me. And so that was the first thing we actually did together. And then we just kind of started playing in the basement and recording things casually. Then we put out, I think, a 7-inch, and then recording an album that came out last September, I guess.
That's right. Coming Apart was released on Matador Records.
Right, yeah.
How do you know, how can you tell that a project like this, that working with Bill, that performing with Bill would work? How do you feel out a person you're going to do a lot of improvisation with?
I just kind of knew the way he played. I don't know, I just had a sense of, and we had played together a little bit. You know, I'd seen him play with other people. And I don't know, I just had a sense about his playing that he was, one, I thought he was really great. And I like the idea of, you know, we both like the idea of just having two guitars that immediately changes it up. You know, as soon as you put drums in, it kind of makes it into something more conventional, and I guess we liked this sort of filmic quality that playing without drums in a less conventional way, and this way, when we perform live, we have usually a film behind us slowed down in very slow motion, so it abstracts it. It kind of just implies that there's some narrative or something, but there you can't really tell what it is.
How are the films that play behind you selected?
Well, the first one, actually, that we used for a while is titled Coming Apart, actually, and it's this early film with Rip Torn where everything takes place in his apartment. He has a camera hidden. All these women come in and out of his, that are in his life, come in and out during the day, and he's kind of gradually having a nervous breakdown. But in slow motion, it almost seems like there's not very much going on at all, and if it's projected big enough, you feel like you're kind of in the living room with them. So it's kind of an interesting thing. It's more like a tableau. And the other film we've been using more lately, we collaborated with this filmmaker artist, Richard Kern, who I've known for years, who lives in New York, and just kind of told him what we wanted. And I know the way he films, you know, I know the way he works, so kind of playing off of what he's known for in a way, which is using the camera as a voyeur, basically.
And when you're playing, are you thinking at all about the projection behind you, or is it a part of the experience?
Not really, actually. You know, sometimes you'll realize that you're silhouetted or shadowed or something, but not usually, because
you're concentrating on creating music.
Yeah, exactly. Because every time we play, it's all improvised. Even though there are themes and lyrics I've used before, it's kind of, you know, every night it's new. So,
what does the name of the duo mean? What is Body Head?
Well, it's taken from this book I had on this French filmmaker, Catherine Biart. And this book is analyzing a letter for films and talking about female sexuality and how you know, there is kind of like this struggle that can go on within oneself, like what your body wants and or what you think you want, but then you won't, don't want to lose control. There's some films, she, 36 Villette, or just sort of about this young girl who wants to lose her virginity. Uh-huh. And she gets involved with this older man, but she can't quite give herself up to him because she doesn't want to lose control of the relationship. But it's not really in that way of, oh, if I have sex with him, he won't call me again. It's not really somehow presented like that. Anyway, a lot of her films are deal with that kind of subject matter, and they're all kind of the way she shoots sex scenes and things are much more erotic than most movies and unexpected, I guess, and some of them are really disturbing. But so we, that's kind of a place we bonded over, were her movies, and we came up with that name and we're sort of like, oh, well, we need to start a band.
You have been inspired, or there are allusions to and lyrics sampled from the Carpenters and Nina Simone in your career, different female musicians. You take their music, have heard it, and adapt it in such a, you know, very different sounding way, obviously. How do you know, how do you respond to something enough to know that you want or need to use it in your own work?
Well, you know, it's just different situations. I mean, the Carpenter, the Karen Carpenter subject matter, well, one, she did have a beautiful voice and really soulful and sexy, which was quite different than their image and the context of what was going on. In the, they were viewed as conservative and when they, you know, first came out. And it's interesting that after that history goes by, you can just kind of listen to the music and evaluate it on its own. And, but, you know, just her story was so... kind of at once really the American dream, you know, of success and kind of do it yourself on your own success and yet just so incredibly screwed up. She's, to me, was very symbolic of a lot of women who feel like, most women, like their body is kind of like what they can control. And she, I think, felt really repressed in her relationship with her brother and the whole situation. And I think she felt also really vulnerable to press making comments. And, you know, so she stood up from behind the drums. I think one critic called her very hippie, implying her hips were big or something. But I think, in a way, it was, she didn't really have so much control in her life, so the only thing she could really control is her body, and she unfortunately chose to make it disappear, you know, the ensuing anorexia. And, you know, and it was interesting that most of those songs were other people's lyrics, but she really made them her own. She really made them believable. And the way it kind of, the irony of the lyrics in her life, and tragic and I don't know. It's interesting.
What about Nina Simone or her music?
Nina Simone, someone sent me that video link to this live video of her doing that song, Ain't, and a couple other ones, and I'd never really seen her and or listened to her music that much. And, or, you know, really, I knew her hits. That was about it. And it was just struck me what a kind of unconventional singer she was, and what she did with her interpretations of people's songs, like Suzanne by Leonard Cohen. Anyway, all the 60s live stuff she did was amazing, and this song, Ink, I just felt like, wow, she's really out there on her own. You know, she's pretty, there's no one like her at the time, and, you know, I guess I just related to her kind of vulnerability and sort of being kind of unique in a certain way. I mean, not that, but she also just, you know, an amazing voice. And I, you know, I don't really think of myself as a singer. So it has to be, you know, I have to employ other things. And emotion, texture, space, rhythm, you know.
Mm-hmm. In live improvisation and improvising for the record, when you play your music, when you improvise with Bill Nace, if there's ever a moment in the music, or is there ever a moment in the music that feels completely correct, that seems perfect and right, and you can or would discuss always recreating that exact moment?
No, you can't. I mean, definitely you can have a lot of moments that feel really great, and you kind of, I guess, really live for those moments. And the funny thing about the record is that it came out sounding really not so improvised and so much, and kind of like surprising in its kind of quality, that it almost stands in the way of, you know, you have to forget about it. We could never recreate that, and it can be kind of intimidating to try, you know, go to certain, and it sounds corny, but sort of like go to certain places where you haven't been before, or take the audience or something, and hope that, you know, it translates through the sound system or whatever it is.
When you create visual art, does your brain feel like it's clicking the same way it does as when you create music?
It's pretty different. The art making is definitely a lot more conceptual. So in a way, though, sometimes you follow ideas in an intuitive way that leads you. I mean, it's definitely a much different kind of working thing for me. Like, music for me is more of an escape, and making art's more about kind of actually owning something.
You recently appeared on Girls, and two of your previous television credits were Gossip Girl and Gilmore Girls. Is there any significance in that, or is it a coincidence?
That's just weird. Just a weird coincidence. I mean, I did watch those other shows with my daughter, and, you know, we were into Gilmore Girls heavily. It's a funny coincidence. Kind of.
And is there any talk for you to appear on The New Girl?
No, not yet. I think I've really done the girl thing on TV. I mean, I would definitely go back and do another episode of Girls, believe me.
Body Head will perform in the Hunter Center at Massmocha on the 15th of March at 8 p.m. Kim Gordon, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
Kim Gordon and Bill Nace are Body Head. They are performing this Saturday, March 15th at 8 p.m. in the Hunter Center at Massmocha in North Adams, Massachusetts. More information is available at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.